This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody locked in and listening all over North America. I might be in Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, he's holding it down for us in New York City. And thank you so much for tuning into the show. You could be on the road. You could be at home. You could be at work. You could be relaxing. You could be building. You could be chilling. You could be cooking. You could be cleaning. Whatever you're doing, thank you for listening. You can tune in on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, CBSSportsRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 158, a smart speaker, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio, and boom, the JR Sport Brief Show will pop right on up. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I appreciate you. You want to call up? Knock yourself out. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. Me, I'm on the internet. I'm online. I am at JR Sport Brief. We've had a busy, busy show. A matter of fact, we're going to continue to have a busy show because in about 20 minutes from now, we're going to chat with Ryan O'Halloran. He covers the Buffalo Bills for the Buffalo News. I know things ain't all that right in Buffalo right now. I know there's a lot of fear and trepidation as to what the season might look like now that Stephon Diggs is now a member of the Houston Texans. Earlier on in the show, we talked about the trade, how the Houston Texans are currently stacked and packed, not on just the offense, but the defense. And we had a great conversation with Sean Pendergast from Sports Radio 610 down in Houston, Texas. He says the expectation right now for the Houston Texans is for this team to compete for an AFC championship. Am I going that far? I don't think so. But it would be far off. It would be a failure, I'd say, if they don't at minimum get as far as they just went to the divisional round of the playoffs where they lost against the team that went to the AFC championship and lost, the Baltimore Ravens. And there should be no reason why unless they feel too much of themselves. They're feeling themselves. And with a head coach like D'Amico Ryans, I don't think that's going to be the case for the Texans. The wide receiver room. Stephon Diggs is getting older. And they're not expecting him to be the god number one receiver. 1,000 yards, 8 to 10 touchdowns will do fine. And I think for an exciting up-and-coming team, people concerned about his attitude problems, man, throw that crap out the window. Stephon Diggs is going to show up, be happy, and work. Tank Dell is in the room, broken leg, but he should be back. Nico Collins is in the room. You got another receiver and tight end, Dalton Schultz. They just traded for Joe Mixon. They signed Danielle Hunter. They still have Derek Stingley Jr. You got Anderson that they drafted last year. Come on now. They're going to be out there busting ass. The Houston Texans are a problem. Now the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills lost quite a few people. And we'll chat with Ryan O'Halloran about what we can expect from the Bills in the next break. But before we do that, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills spoke earlier today, Brandon Bean. He sat in front of the media, and he basically told the fans, calm the hell down, I ain't finished working. Listen to him from his press conference earlier today.
These moves are never easy, very hard, not made overnight, anything like that. But anytime you make a move like this, as I said, very difficult, you're doing it. You're trying to win, and sometimes people may not see that, you know, this is by no means the Bills giving up or trying to take a step back or anything like that. Everything we do We're trying to win, and we're going to continue to do that. It's, you know, it's April the 3rd or 4th, whatever it is, and we'll continue to work on this roster and make sure we're ready to play come September.
Sounds like a funeral. That don't sound like winning to me. That sounds like a dude who just lost a four-time Pro Bowler. That guy was just a Pro Bowler last year. And maybe you lose an attitude problem, but you certainly didn't gain anything in regards to talent yet. And maybe, just maybe, you can make up that production by the time the NFL draft comes along, but the odds on that aren't necessarily high. I wouldn't bank on that. Things could still be ugly. I mean, this is a Buffalo Bills team that just this offseason has lost Stephon Diggs today. They've lost Gabe Davis. They lost their center in Mitch Morse. They lost Jordan Poyer. They lost Tre'Davious White. They lost Leonard Floyd. You're losing defense and offense. And yeah, some of these players have been injured. Some of them are getting up there. The Buffalo Bills, they shot their shot. And they missed. Yeah, this isn't the same as going to four consecutive Super Bowls and losing in four unique ways. But man, ain't nobody think about the Bills right now. I'm just being honest. Are they going to be good? Yeah, they'll be okay. They'll be competitive in the AFC East. But I'm supposed to feel better about Josh Allen competing? The man who's needed help and does all the work, and then he got help with Diggs, and then Diggs didn't want to be there, and here we are in the same damn place. The Buffalo Bills are a team that are running nowhere. Now, look, I didn't know you have buffalo in Western New York. I've never seen a buffalo in my life. Hickey, you ever seen a buffalo?
No.
Yeah, I'm from East. I've never seen a buffalo. I've seen a moose. I saw a moose in Alaska, and I said, well, Dan, that's a big-ass moose.
That's pretty cool.
A moose? Oh, yeah. It was huge, man.
And they, like, gallop fast. Like, they move fast, too, through that snow.
The moose I saw, wasn't galloping. He was just standing there. I'm like, damn, that's a big thing. It's big. Like, if your car hit the moose, your car is in trouble. But anyway, these Buffalo Bills, you want to know where they're moving? Nowhere. Brandon Bean could shovel everybody as much as he wants. Did that sound like a celebratory press conference? That's one of those press conferences that he sits down with the media guy before he goes out there and he says, well, listen, yeah, we want to project some positivity here to our fan base. We want to encourage our fans to let them know that we, the Buffalo Bills, will not suck this upcoming season. Like, when you got to explain yourself that much, nah, mm-mm. You lost. And yeah, you might have lost an attitude problem, but also, yeah, at the same time, you lost some talent. And good luck trying to pick it up. 855-212-4CBS. Speaking of losing earlier on in the show, we know that Angel Reese, she lost. LSU lost the other night, Monday night, in that Elite Eight matchup as Iowa now moved forward to the Final Four to take on UConn. Well, it looks like LSU is losing Angel Reese, because Angel Reese, who was in tears on Monday night after the loss, reminding everyone that she's a human being and that you got to keep in mind, you know, all the hate messages and such gets to her. She told everybody today that she's going to the WNBA, and she did it on her TikTok, and she announced her move to the WNBA in a unique publication. Listen to this.
Hey, y'all. So today is a really, 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 really big day for me. So basically, long story short, I'm not going to post this video until after my last game at LSU. But sadly, I have decided that I am not coming back to LSU next year, and I am going to declare for the WNBA draft. It was obviously a hard decision for me to make, but it's best for me, my career, my family. So be happy for me or don't. I don't care. Anyway, to announce that I'm not coming back next year, y'all know the Bayou Barbie got to do it big. And to announce that I'm not coming back, I am going to be in Vogue. Not Teen Vogue. I've been in Teen Vogue before. Been there, done that. Not European Vogue. Not American Vogue. Front cover Vogue.
People who tell you that, well, they have to tell you multiple times that they don't care, like, typically they care. Like, if you care enough to tell me you don't care, you care. And I made the point that there is no excuse for some of the hate messages that she gets. There's none. It's a bunch of lazy, mad jackasses sitting at home just angry. But she also has to learn, hey, you're already going to get mean and nasty messages, but what are you going to put out to kind of temper that? Or do you really not care? That's a lesson she's going to have to learn, especially as she moves on to the next level. There ain't no guarantee she's going into the WNBA and being a star or a superstar. This might be the peak. She might ascend to superstardom, or she might get humbled. And for a young woman who's 21, who's been at, received ESPYs and in Vogue now, she's in Vogue and Sports Illustrated. Listen, you may learn sometimes these things are here today and they are gone tomorrow. I hope it's not for her, but that's just the reality. It is a possibility. It is a possibility. Speaking of here today and gone tomorrow, I don't know if you heard this story. About an hour ago, maybe a little bit more than that, we all were alerted that UConn, the men, the male Huskies, Dan Hurley's squad, that they were stranded in Connecticut, that they could not get onto the damn plane due to mechanical issues and arrive in Phoenix, Arizona. According to CBS Sports, UConn did not have a plane to get to Arizona. Dan Hurley told CBS Sports their plane was supposed to take off at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and they didn't go anywhere due to logistical mechanical issues with the plane coming in from Kansas City, which forced a delay. Now, Hickey, help me out here. This has since been updated, and their plane is going to take off at 11 p.m. Eastern.
The plane is scheduled to take off somewhere there. I was just reading before that apparently, I guess, the plane that they are now getting is smaller than the original plane, which I guess means that, number one, the travel part of that they have going to the Final Four has to shrink. I mean, players are going, but I guess, you know, other fans, parents, etc.
Wait. No, go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
So in part of that, they said the flight may be even delayed even more because depending on, I guess, how much weight is on the plane, that's going to determine if the plane has to refuel or if it has enough fuel. I think it's come from Cincinnati to go from Cincinnati to Storrs, Connecticut to Phoenix, Arizona without stopping again. So it's scheduled for around 11 p.m. Eastern, and it could be even, I guess, more delayed if that plane is a little heavier than maybe they anticipate.
You can't make this stuff up,
man. No, you can't.
So they had a plane set, and that plane had mechanical issues, like something that would happen to me when I get on a flight, right?
Right.
Except for this is the NCAA, and the plane had mechanical issues, and they didn't have another one. And so now they may have to tell friends or family or superfluous staff, figure out another way to Phoenix because you can't come now?
That's right.
And take your stinking bags with you?
That's right. Good luck. I'll be there. Maybe, hopefully, we'll see you there, too.
This is like me standing at the gate saying, I don't want your stinking hotel voucher. And I'm saying, hey, we're going to take your bags off the plane. And I'm like, nah, I need to go. Except for this is the NCAA. Meanwhile, I'm looking at the Men's Final Four Twitter account right now. They got a video of the Wolfpack arriving in Phoenix, Arizona. They say the pack is back for more. They got photos and video of them arriving at the airport, getting off of the plane. And it's just you can't make this stuff up. And so if they take off at 11, I'm going to assume they're going to go to sleep at the hotel at 3:30, 4 a.m. And that's local time. That's not East Coast time. That's local time out in Phoenix. By the time you fly, you got to travel from the airport to the hotel. I'm sure they'll get an escort. You get your bag, check in, and you just can't make this stuff up. You can't do it. At least now Dan Hurley is going to have something else to be ticked off about. He's going to complain about the plane, and we knew the NCAA was in on us. They didn't want us to go back-to-back, and they delayed the plane. It's just a matter of when he decides to say it. But it's coming. You can't make this stuff up. Delayed plane taking the defending champions to Phoenix for the Final Four. It's wild. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. What we're going to do is take a break. When we come back, we have to go to Western New York, the home of the Buffalo Bills. We're going to have a conversation with Ryan O'Halloran of the Buffalo News. The Buffalo Bills, they keep losing and losing players. And look, the GM says, I got this. Don't worry about it. It's April, not September. We're going to get the opinions of Ryan O'Halloran next from the Buffalo News. You listening. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We had a big morning. We had a big trade take place in the NFL. Stephon Diggs moving on from the Buffalo Bills, now a member of the Houston Texans. We know the Texans, there's some projections that they should continue to elevate in the AFC. Meanwhile, in Buffalo, Diggs' attitude is gone. His talent is too, in addition to some other players' talent. I mean, the Buffalo Bills have lost some players, whether they are aging or hurt, the Tre'Davious Whites, the Jordan Poyers, the Gabe Davises, the Mitch Morse. Like, their general manager, he spoke to the people today and said, listen, it's April. Wait until September. To break it down and what's going on in Buffalo, how do the fans feel, how does he feel, it's time to talk with someone who writes and covers the Buffalo Bills for the Buffalo News. It's Ryan O'Halloran. Ryan, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Sure thing. Good to join you tonight.
No doubt about it. So I guess with the movement from earlier today, what is your thought process on the trade from a Buffalo Bills perspective? We know this isn't a surprise here.
Well, sports writers like to say they're never surprised because it feels like they're important and know a lot of stuff. I thought this was not going to happen this year because it had reached April 3rd and Stephon Diggs was still on the roster. A lot of teams had done their shopping, had done their trading, and including the Bills, and they had enough cap space to carry him for this year. I thought this was going to be his last season with the Bills, though. Okay, that said, the Bills, I think, got good value with the second-round pick, albeit 2025. As soon as they received the call, as soon as they showed interest in a call, teams knew that they were shopping Diggs or were okay moving them. That probably impacted the leverage a little bit.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, if we read the tea leaves between Stephon Diggs' comments, his brother's comments, all the ass-kissing that the team has tried to do to placate him over the past season and a half, yeah, this has been a culmination. And so what happens next? You know, yes, he was a Pro Bowler. He was also a headache. Where does the production come from? Are we looking at the draft, or is this now lost because of some of the other losses?
Yeah, I think the draft is the first spot. They right now they're in the 28th position of what lines up to be a very good receiver first round. I mean, they could stand pat, not trade up, and probably still get a good guy that can help them right away. But the other takeaway from the Diggs trade today, I'll give you two more actually. One is when the production doesn't meet the drama, it's time to move on. And he had one touchdown in his last 10 games, regular season and playoffs last year. His yards per catch dropped. His drop passes went up 11.1, then a lot of drop passes. So the other takeaway, if you're a Bills fan and a Bills watcher tonight, is this passing game now goes through Dalton Kincaid, the second-year tight end from Utah, who was their first-round pick last year. You started to see Joe Brady go that way late in the season. Josh Allen had complete trust in the rookie. And so I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end, two receiver, have the first round receiver join Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel and go by committee instead of 150 touches for Diggs.
Ryan O'Halloran is here with us from the Buffalo News. What is the overall temperature from the city? Are people happy that he's gone? Are folks worried about the production? What's the overall feeling from what you've seen and heard?
I think the consensus is the time had come, and thank you for your service. You know, he put 4 years in here. They won four division titles. He had 100 catches each year. But there, I think the smart fans and the ones who read and listen and go online, they can see that, you know, this was a partnership that maybe had run its course. And you don't see people criticizing Brandon Bean. You don't see people criticizing Josh Allen. But you see a fan base that says, hey, $31 million of dead money is going to hurt you this year, but Stephon Diggs' money is off the books in 2025, so they should be in position to add talent that way.
I talked about some of the other players that have departed, whether it be the center, the defensive backs for the Buffalo Bills. And, yes, they've been banged up. You know, is there a concern that this team has kind of plateaued? I mean, everybody knows they're trying to still get over the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think that's what made these moves necessary. They probably, with this group, you had knocked on the door enough times in the last 2 years when they were all in for a Super Bowl. They lost at home in the second round. They're supposed to have this great home field advantage, this great home weather advantage. And they lost to the Bengals, they lost to the Chiefs. And this time last year, they knew that March 2024 was going to be painful. They were going to have to reset their cap. They just hoped they were doing it after a Super Bowl berth. Okay, sort of, that would ease the pain a little bit. Well, that didn't happen. They still had to make these moves. They, instead of pushing money down the road with voided years and whatnot, they decided, hey, let's just do it this year. And as Brandon Bean said today, they're still going to have a 53-man roster for week one. They still intend on winning. As long as you have number 17 at quarterback, that window for the Super Bowl remains open.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Ryan O'Halloran is here with us on CBS Sports Radio from the Buffalo News. It's one thing to say that. It's nothing else for the general manager to say in that regard. When you realistically take a look at the roster and where they've been and where they're going, you know, we're literally going from MVP and Super Bowl talk to kind of a question mark. Hey, we still plan on competing. What's realistic for where they end up? Is it fighting for 10 wins in the AFC East? What are your thoughts on where they might max out? Let's just say they get a receiver in, a rookie who can grab, I don't know, 700, 800 yards and 5 to 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I still think they're the favorite in the AFC East because Miami has had to also do some of their own decimation of their roster to get camp compliant. Patriots had a total rebuild. The Jets, can you really trust them until you see it? I would say no. But, you know, with the Bills right now, minus Diggs, they still have all their other skill position talent coming back that they wanted to keep. They let Gabe Davis go to Jacksonville. But on defense, it's okay. Can Von Miller do anything remotely close as a pass rusher than he did pre-second ACL injury Thanksgiving of 22? That's going to be the key. They're going to be working in guys, corner, safety. So I think you have more questions on defense at this point with the Bills than you do on offense. But, you know, 10-7 AFC East title, I mean, the over-under, I think, is 10.5 right now. I'd say this is still a 10 or 11 win team.
Ryan, when you think about head coach McDermott, there were times throughout this past season where people have just kind of gone, okay, what are we doing? When are we going to get here? What is his current standing if things don't change or if they kind of are skating even past this season?
Yeah. It'd have to be a real disaster for Terry Pegula, the owner, to move on from Sean McDermott. His new contract starts this year. He got that extension before the 23 season. And, things would have to really go south. And I think ownership was involved heavily in this, in some of these decisions, understanding that, hey, this is probably not a 13-win team in 2024, but they are setting themselves up to reboot, reset, however you want to call it, when the new stadium opens in 26 and then maybe before. So, you know, I think this is a transition type year to a new era of Josh Allen leading the entire franchise. But I still think they have some things that they can hang their hat on. But with McDermott, it's, it's always that thing we probably talked about for decades in pro sports. Is he the guy to get you to the top, or is he the guy to get you just close enough then somebody else gets the opportunity? Well, he's going to get the opportunity to see if he can take this team to the top.
Ryan O'Halloran is here with us, covers the Buffalo Bills. You mentioned the new Highmark Stadium expected to open in 2026. We all know about the old Ralph Wilson and name changed a million times throughout the years. Tell us about the new stadium. I understand it has no roof. It's still going to be outdoor in the elements like people would want it. We hear the Chiefs got a whole beef and problem about where they play. How was this financed and put together for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, and, you know, it's state and publicly funded. The Bills ownership is on the hook for around $700 million of it, of the $1.7 billion. It is going to be an open-air stadium, but there will be a canopy that covers maybe like 65% to 70% of the fans. And the construction of the building will actually help keep the wind out, which is a godsend for Bills fans. But, you know, it's right across the street from the current stadium, big hole in the ground, a lot of steel going up. So once that starts coming along, you start looking forward to that and then 2026.
Wow. I mean, everybody now wants a roof. Everybody wants to attract different events and what have you. But the Buffalo Bills, it sounds like they just wanted to say, hey, this is ours and this is for football. No, Ryan?
Yeah, and it, what it frees up, I mean, they can still have major events during the summer and fall in terms of your non-football stuff. But let's face it, Buffalo wasn't going to get a Super Bowl even with a roof. They probably weren't going to get a Final Four with a roof. So they made that decision in terms of financially. But you mentioned Arrowhead. Everybody wants a roof. Everybody wants a new stadium. They sure as hell don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, we see that with the Kansas City Chiefs seeming real cheap. Hey, right now. Ryan, where can people follow you and all of your work with the Buffalo News?
Appreciate it. Buffalo News website, www.buffalonews. Simple as it gets. And at Twitter, Ryan O'Halloran, all one word. And we'll continue to have some more digs fall out here over the next couple days.
And no doubt about it. Well, you're going to miss some content, man. You're going to miss out on the crybaby stuff now, Ryan. Come on.
Well, it's like every time he did talk, it was news. So we appreciated that. I mean, Stephon Diggs would have had a great season here in Buffalo. He's going to have a great season for Houston with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Ryan, we look forward to catching you on Down the Line. Thank you for taking the time.
Anytime now. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That Ryan O'Halloran covers the Bills for the Buffalo News. Yeah, they'll still be competitive, and they'll spread the ball out more. I just don't think that solves the ultimate question of, not Stephon Diggs, excuse me, but Josh Allen feeling like he has to put on this Superman cape to go out and win all these Buffalo Bills games by himself. Like, I want to tell him, like relax. But now, I don't know, he might feel obligated to turn things back around. And maybe looking at a tight end down the middle of the field and Dalton Kincaid changes that. I just have no confidence that Josh Allen is going to change the type of player who he is, unless he just is loaded up with offensive weapons and he's kind of forced to just take a step back. I don't believe it. I believe it when I see it. I expect the Buffalo Bills to be competitive, but not to the level of a championship of what we have thought for the past few seasons. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. When we come back, we just talked about how the Kansas City Chiefs are a bunch of cheapskates. There appears to be a team, or excuse me, there appears to be a city that wants to lure Kansas City to their town. It's not in Kansas, Missouri. It's not in Kansas City, Kansas. It's in Texas. I'm going to tell you what city wants the Chiefs on the other side of the break. We're going to get into something that took place this day in sports.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And I want you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4CBS is the number. Thank you so much to Ryan O'Halloran, from the Buffalo News for joining us in the last break. The Buffalo Bills getting a little bit of a reset, moving Stephon Diggs down to Houston. I could see them being the same, but I can't necessarily see them being better. The Texans, meanwhile, the Texans have definitely gotten better. I mean, even if they did not add Stephon Diggs today through trade, they have gotten better. I think with age, with experience, you add a guy like Danielle Hunter. He may not be at the peak of what he was at Minnesota. And who knows, he may be hurt. He's certainly going through his share of injuries. But the Houston Texans are on the up and up. And the Buffalo Bills right now, they're just people like, yeah, they look to be coasting. I mean, we can all con ourselves into what's going on, but have they improved or are they just staying the same? Is it addition by subtraction? Or are you just losing some weight to add some more in another area? I don't know. I'm not high on the Buffalo Bills. And I wasn't, even before today. Let me know when they actually win something. I'm sick of looking at them year after year after year. Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that, MVP this, MVP that. And so we've had an opportunity throughout the course of the show to talk about Stephon Diggs, the Texans, the Bills. We talked about Angel Reese. I gave you a top six list of some of the biggest villains in the world of sports right now. I had Aaron Rodgers at number one on the list. And before we roll out of here, I most certainly want to share with you some additional news stories, especially one that involves the Kansas City Chiefs no longer playing in Kansas City. I'll explain momentarily. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Chicago and talk to Johnny. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, JR. Johnny D from Chicago. Hey, I wanted to mention you got the best show going. So I'm really grateful for your show. And I got Angel Reese going to the Chicago Sky, the 2021 WNBA champion Chicago Sky. They got the number three pick in the draft this year. So I'm hoping they grab the Angel Reese. And then I got two for my list. I got two Chicago bad guys. I got the owner of the Chicago Welfare Sox.
Oh, my God.
Jerry Reinsdorf. Yep. The Welfare Sox.
And I like then, Kenny. I like Kenny Williams. Is Kenny? He's still upstairs, right? Or he got rid of Kenny. Kenny quit.
No,
right?
They got rid of Kenny.
Kenny quit.
So he's number one bad guy, and then number two bad guy on my list is Scottie Pippen. The Bulls actually hired him as an ambassador to walk around the stadium.
They fired
him. He'd get so drunk he wouldn't even sign autographs or nothing, so they had to fire him because of his alcoholism. So
well,
he's my number two bad guy. Yeah.
Imagine if your ex-wife was dating, Michael Jordan's kid. I'd be drunk too.
Yeah, I agree.
And now they're not together, so they just tortured Scottie for no reason.
Yeah, it is. Scottie deserves it though. He's got problems.
Yeah, it's been some interesting years from Scotty. I hope he's good. Hey, thank you, Johnny. Appreciate
it. Great list. Last week's list, though, you were kind of a homer putting the Yankees number six.
What was my list from last week? What did I do?
You had the six teams going to the playoffs. Six.
The Yankees are 6-1 right now. What are we talking about?
I got them missing the playoffs. I would have had Arizona at number six. But that's, like you said, that's your list. Yeah, that's JR being a little homer there.
It's not homerism. Do you hear me on Saturdays in New York killing all the New York teams? I'll just tell the truth.
No, I listen to a great show here in Chicago. It's Saturday Suckage, it's called. And it's with a 70-year-old scribe from the Tribune. And the guy is hilarious. He's the best listen, and he calls it like you. Maybe even he might even be better than you, only because he's 70, and he can say what he wants to say. Man, is he good?
Let me tell you something. He sucks. Okay, how about that?
Yeah,
he sucks.
Yeah, that's what he likes to hear. All right, thanks, JR.
Well, thank you, Johnny, for calling from Chicago. Tell me, some 70-year-old man better than me? I gotta listen to him anyway. I don't know what the hell time that guy comes on. I'm on in the early afternoon. There ain't no sucky time for me. Anyway, I mentioned this. You know what? Let's play the audio again, because we got a bunch of cheapskate owners in the world. Now, let's think about this. If you got money, don't people who have tons of money, they happen to be some of the cheapest people you know. They always want somebody else to pay for their stuff. Like the Kansas City Chiefs, like the Hunts, like they want a new stadium, but they only want to contribute $300 million, reportedly, even though the family as a whole is worth like $25 billion. Listen to this. This is from Fox out in Kansas City.
Voters say that they have too many unanswered questions about question one so far. It asked Jackson County voters to extend the 3/8 cent sales tax to fund a new downtown Royals baseball stadium in the East Crossroads District and in renovations out at Arrowhead. Not even close, though, tonight. 58% of the Jackson County voters voting no, 42% saying yes. The no vote leading by at least 13,000 votes at this point.
Listen, when this was brought, so basically the taxpayers where the Chiefs play have basically said, we ain't paying for your stadium. You didn't give us no damn details and we ain't paying for it, which is totally understandable. But do I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to leave the area? No, I don't think so. Are they going to stay in the Kansas City metro? Possibly, yes. Are they going to move to the Kansas side of Kansas? There's a lot going on the Kansas City side of Kansas. It's possible. I don't think they're going to up and leave the area. Okay? They got, what, like 6 more years that they have to play out there? Now, having said that, of course, we got leeches. The mayor of Dallas, Eric Johnson, you heard me correctly. He basically said that the Kansas City Chiefs need to come home. In a statement, he said, Dallas was named the top sports city in the United States because we play to win. And as I've said previously, our market is big enough, growing enough, and loves football more than enough to support a second NFL team, especially a franchise and an owner with deep roots here. He wants the Kansas City Chiefs to return to Dallas, Texas. Now, Jerry Jones isn't going to love this. And we know that they play a little bit deeper, not in downtown Dallas. They basically have Arlington on lock. But Mayor Eric Johnson says that, hey, we Dallas need to get the Kansas City Chiefs back to Dallas. And he pretty much said that, hey, if you take a look at history, the Cowboys didn't pop up until 1960. But the Dallas Texans were there in 1959, one of the first AFL teams. They then moved to Kansas City, became the Chiefs in 1963. There you have it. Do I think that's happening? Hell no. They got to pay a relocation fee of hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of million dollars to move. I don't think that's going to be the case. All things considered, maybe they just moved to Kansas City, Kansas. I have no idea. Let me also tell you about something that took place this day in sports. We got to go back to 2006, April 3rd. I know this UConn Huskies team, whenever the hell they're playing, can't arrive in Arizona. They're having flight issues. They're trying to go back-to-back. In 2006, the Gators won their first championship. Joakim Noah, he showed up. He showed out. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7 blocks, 73-57. Florida won their first championship over UCLA. Hey, let's listen to the final call courtesy of CBS.
That's going to do it. They were almost flawless, a season low, 6 turnovers by the Gators. What a performance. The Gators, as good as it gets. Florida's the national champion.
Are we going to hear that again with UConn again? UConn's the national champion. Probably have a little bit more enthusiasm on this go-around. And here's something else that took place on this day, April 3rd, in 1923. You want to talk about crooks and people being cheap and trying to take money? This is hilarious. And our last caller from Chicago talked about the White Sox being cheap. This is so funny. Ironic. In 1923, on this day, the Black Sox, yes, the collection of players who threw the 1919 World Series to gamblers to get paid, those guys, those cheaters, they sued the White Sox in 1923 for back pay. So basically, we threw the World Series, and we basically robbed you of our efforts to go out there and pay, but now we're going to sue you to make money back. This is the most, well, maybe this is, hey, Hickey, I think this is where Alex Rodriguez got his idea from. Like when A-Rod like took drugs and cheated and lied, and then the Yankees said, man, we ain't going to pay you because you voided your contract, and A-Rod said, no. Even though I disgraced myself in my contract and our agreement, I'm still going to sue you in Major League Baseball for my money. This is where A-Rod got the idea from, I swear.
Does make a lot of sense. He's, you know what? Credit to A-Rod. He's an historian.
He's a historian. And unfortunately, Hickey, we don't have no audio from 1923, right?
I would love to hear the lawyers for the Black Sox in a, like a courtroom make that case as to why they should get paid.
What does it sound like? What do you... I don't want to be derogatory. You don't be derogatory either. But I can imagine what that courtroom is. You know,
what did they? Everyone spoke faster in 1923.
But then that's what I say. Hey, indubitably, yeah, no, indubitably, like right. Just say indubitably a million times, and boom, we have nailed it in 1923. Get some bow ties on and some top hats. We don't wear
some show tunes in the background too.
Yeah, we don't wear pants. We wear trousers. Okay. I know, because I know what baseball looked like in 1923. Everybody at the baseball game looked like a paper boy. Big old trousers, suspenders. And God bless you right now, if you're listening to me, and you really remember that. God bless you, because your ass is more than 100. God bless you for many more years. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio, it's done. I'm going to be back with you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me everywhere at JR Sport Brief. If you missed the top six list, listen on the free Odyssey app. Don't move here on CBS Sports Radio. Bart Winkler, he's coming up next. Thank you, Hickey.